Hi everyone, this is Adam from Team Overdrive, and welcome to episode 3 of the Professional Book Nerds podcast. I am joined by our lovely host, Jill, who is going to tell us just a little bit about what you'll hear during this episode.
So in our third episode, we joined by my fellow staff librarians, Todd and Sheila, and we talked about a wide range of books. There's some beekeeping involved. There is some history with the Lafayette in the somewhat United States. We got some short stories with the Czar of Love and Techno. So a lot of good stuff today.
And in case you guys are wondering, if you're Hamilton fans, there is no Hamilton discussion, but that book, the name Lafayette, if it sounds familiar, that is the Marquis de Lafayette who you hear about in Hamilton. So if you're a theater or Broadway nerd like myself, that will be something that you'll definitely appreciate and really enjoy. Was there anything else in this episode that people should look out for?
Yes. For our reader recommendations, we do something a little bit different. We, instead of giving out specific recommendations, one of our things is books to celebrate Appreciate a Dragon Day, which is kind of fun.
Absolutely.
And in our pre-pubs, sometimes when you're recording, your brain isn't always working if you haven't had your coffee, you know. And we talked about one of the pre-pubs we talk about, we mentioned that it is written in prose. It's actually written in poetry.
And for all of our listeners, whether this is the first episode you've ever heard or you've listened to all three so far, just wanted to remind you, if you want to let us know what you are reading and get some recommendations from us, you can do that by following us on Twitter at OverdriveLibs. Just let us know what you're reading. We'll give you some great suggestions. And with that, without further ado, here is episode 3 of the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the third episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. I'm your host, Jill, and today I am joined by two of my fellow staff librarians, Sheila and Todd. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
You excited to be talking about books?
Very excited.
So what have you guys been reading recently? Finish anything good? Sheila?
Well, I did read The Nest by Kenneth Opel.
Okay.
He's one of the Canadian authors. He's very good. I read Airborne by him. He had released a few years ago, but Nest is the one everybody's talking about. It's got all the star reviews right now. And just to preface this, is like, I'm a beekeeper and this thing gave me the heebie-jeebies.
So what's it about?
It's about this kid who has this dream that this queen wasp comes to talk to him.
Oh.
And in his family right now, they're going through a problem with their newborn baby, that the newborn baby isn't well and has to keep going back to the hospital and everything. And the queen wasp comes to him in his dream and tells him, I can fix your baby.
That's kind of creepy.
It is very creepy. So this boy keeps having these, and I'm using air quotes here, dream about this
queen wasp.
Queen wasp. And she builds the nest and it just gets creepier from there. So if you're into creepy and a starred review,
that's a good one.
That's
all
a
right.
Good one.
Maybe wasps get a bad rap.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's
the problem.
Maybe that is the bad
rap. I don't think
so. Well, to
nice
be fair though.
Queen wasp.
Do we think there are nice queen wasps out there?
I don't, maybe.
I'm not so sure about that one.
Queen honeybees, I
queen honeybees,
for.
Maybe.
Queen wasps,
yeah,
not
wasps
so much.
Are like a totally different beast.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that. What about you, Todd?
Well, I've been actually just finished Lafayette in the somewhat United States by Sarah Vowell. Many of you may have already heard of Sarah Vowell. I don't know if anybody here's read.
I don't think so. Like it sounds like her name sounds very.
She
blue-blue.
Was on. It was a long time ago. She did like This American Life stuff.
Okay.
This is all about General Lafayette during the Revolutionary War. He's French and joined the American Revolution when he was like 19. And
I think I wrote a paper on him when I was in high school, but
there
I don't
you go.
Really remember
yeah.
much.
Right. It's cool because she's really funny. So it's told in a interesting way. And she goes to all these places where he was. But mostly you kind of realize why, like, every 10 towns you see are named Lafayette.
Yeah. That makes sense. I guess I hadn't really thought about that, but I could see how that would happen. All right. Cool.
Yeah. So it's a good one. She had Wordy Shipmates that came out a few years ago. It was really good. But yeah, Lafayette in some way, United States.
I like it. I just started reading a book the other day called The Dorito Effect, The Surprising New Truth About Food and Flavor by Mark Schotzker. I hope I pronounced that correctly. It's a nonfiction book about how over the decades, in an attempt to, you know, grow more crops and get more food out there to the people, like our populations have grown and all that stuff, they have sacrificed flavor in some of the foods, right? And so, like, they talk about chickens and how chickens, you know, they kind of make them bigger and sacrifice flavor. And then how the twist of that, though, then is to get that more flavor, they sort of, like, fake flavor a lot, and how our taste buds can't necessarily tell the difference between actual flavor and, like, fake flavor. So the talks, it's called The Dorito Effect, based on how, like, Doritos came about and tasting like a taco. It's not really a taco, but how that's sort of what they do to all kinds of foods now. They sort of fake flavor a lot.
Read that book.
It's good. You should. I just started
Doritos,
it.
So yeah. I was instantly drawn to it.
Right on the title. But it is kind of weird how they talk about, like, they talk about imitation vanilla and how vanilla, like, used to be, like, very expensive and you couldn't really get actual vanilla extract. And then somebody discovered a way to make imitation vanilla. And that's what people still continue to use a lot of, even though regular, you know, but you as, like, we can't necessarily tell because we've been conditioned to get more familiar with the fake flavors. Than
so vanilla doesn't come in a brown jar?
No, it does not come in a brown jar. But it's interesting. It does make you sort of, like, be like, I don't know if I want to eat my lunch today. Like, like, what's in it?
I often question. My doctor tells me to eat better, and he then in the next sentence tells me he eats Wendy's chili.
Or, like, tomatoes. Like, you look at, like, an heirloom tomato versus, like, you know, they're, like, the heirloom tomatoes are what tomatoes are really supposed to look like. But you can't market those, and they're hard to sell, and they want, you know, grocery stores want things to look nice and be very,
uniform.
Yes. And so they breed them in a very specific way to look a certain way, and that's not really, like, it's a tomato, but it's not like a tomato. And anyway, so yes, I would recommend it if you had looked at it, especially since you, do you farm? I mean, do you grow, do you have a garden? I know you have, like, chickens and...
Yeah, I put in a little garden. So okay. I have my chickens and my neighbor raises cows.
See, that's probably so good. That's probably a good spot.
I source my food as locally as I can.
That's good.
I know where my eggs come from. It's, when I crack an egg open, I'm like, oh, it's so yellow.
Yes.
And it's got a beautiful color to
yeah.
it.
So see, that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. Are you reading anything else?
Well, I did get into a piece of nonfiction.
Okay.
I do a lot with the children in the YA.
Mm-hmm.
And I read Steve Sheinkin's Most Dangerous, The Daniel Ellsberg and the Secret of the History of Vietnam.
Oh.
And if I would have had this book in high school.
Yeah.
I could have done a lot better in Vietnam history.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit older, so there you go. But it was really good. It brought everything together, that era.
Okay.
In a way that young people can understand. And I've right. been referring it to all my social studies teachers and everything. I go, you need this in your classroom.
Yeah.
Your students need to read this. And even if you get the audiobook, it's mm-hmm. just fantastic. It goes through May 4th at Kent State, Watergate, all the Vietnam, the Agent Orange,
yep.
the whole entire thing, and encapsulates it into one book and explains it to you.
That's good.
So I got it now.
Yeah, that, I didn't,
I
yeah,
got it, I
that's
got
an
it.
That's an era of history awesome. I don't really know.
I didn't,
I know very little about.
Well, I was little at the time.
Yeah.
I was
older than you.
I'm a little bit older than you. I was little at the time. My brother's a Vietnam vet, so I mean,
okay.
I had intimate knowledge of
right.
it from an aspect
yes.
where most people wouldn't, but at the time, I was young, so I didn't understand all the grown-up things going on around
sure.
it. And it tells you about how the presidents kept perpetuating it, and not just one. It was, like, through three administrations.
Okay.
So it was pretty cool.
All right.
To learn about how that fell together.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
is it a YA book, then? Or is it a sort of like a...
It's just ages 10 and up.
Okay.
But, you know... I think they're studying Vietnam history in the high schools.
Yes.
So, you know, and I have no qualms about using a lower level book in high school because then everybody can understand.
Yeah, and if the information is presented. And the
information is spot on.
See, that's what matters then. So, not necessarily though.
Yeah. So I would recommend it to everybody. Even adults. Because I enjoy it thoroughly.
Hot job, Adam.
Yeah.
Todd, are you reading anything else lately?
Yeah, I'm actually in the middle of a of some fiction now.
Okay.
I heard about it through like NPR, and then actually when I was putting together...
NPR has the best book review. I love it.
They always do, yeah. And this one, actually, I feel like their book review, at least it kind of threw me off, because they described it, and it's kind of a weird book anyway, but putting together like end of year lists, I was... Mm-hmm. Just kept seeing the book again and again and again. It's called The Czar of Love and Techno. It's by Anthony Mara or Mara,
mm-hmm.
M-A-R-R-A. And it is amazing. It's just, I've never read, I'm going to call it a novel, even though it's sort of short stories. It's
so
sort
is it
of
like
novel
a novel
time.
In short story form?
And you sort of, it's dealing with a lot of the same characters at different points in their life. And it just sort of like, it'll tell one story from one perspective in one family. And then you'll sort of have these ideas about those characters, and then you'll start the next story and realize that that story is now about the people that you just,
we're
looking at it in a negative way, and you sort of learn like why they did the things they did mm-hmm. and how they did them, why, like all of the background for that. And then inevitably you look differently on this other group, and then the next story inevitably will be about them.
Interesting.
And it's all about, it all takes place in sort of the very end. It's like late 80s, mid 80s Soviet Union.
That explains the title.
Right.
Pretty much
that
right
is
across the board.
Everything. That is why that is the Czar of Love and Techno. And so it takes place there. It's a lot. There's soldiers going off to a war in Chechnya. There are ballerinas. It's a very Russian book.
Okay.
But on top of it, I actually listened to audiobook, and this is one of my favorite audiobook performances I've ever heard, because it's I think there's about four readers.
Oh, okay.
And they all have very thick Russian accents that I wish I could do.
Right.
And you just have to go listen to it, because as soon as you hear the guy's voice in the very first story, you'll want to
keep going.
It's just amazing.
All
and
right.
They're just, it's just great. Really great. And beautiful. And really hard to listen to sometimes.
Yeah, I think that like when it comes to audiobooks, I think the narrators can often really, really make a good
book
feel like a performance,
mm-hmm.
not just somebody reading into a microphone.
Right, and the reverse of it is like sometimes I've heard a book that is really good but is
like
read
audio.
So terribly
that I
like, just get through it. You know, it's like, well, this is I'm at work. I'm not going to get a book out yet.
I know.
But this one's it's a really great audiobook.
All right. That sounds good.
How about you?
Me? It's funny because in the second episode I talked about how I read a lot of Tudor history books, fiction and nonfiction, and after that I went back and started reading The Other Boleyn Girl, which is one of my favorites, despite the very gross historical inaccuracies in the book. Like, that's a little bothersome to me, but I love it. It's like trashy Tudor bodice ripping history book all wrapped into one. I don't know how else to describe it, but I love it, and I read it every couple of years. So I started reading that again. It's just fun to go back to books you've read before, I think, sometimes.
I turned a page about 3 years ago and I said, I'm not rereading books.
Really?
I don't rewatch movies.
Wow, okay.
I will watch some TV again.
Do you own books?
Yes.
But do they just,
but
like, sit on the
now.
Shelf?
But actually, since I made that decree, things have changed. I bought fewer books, but I sort of went ebook all the way.
Well, sure.
But every once in a while, I end up with a paper copy. But yeah, I mean, they just end up being kind of... I think before that, even, I wasn't rereading them that often.
Okay.
And they just end up being, like, trophies on the wall, you know? And
interesting.
It's like,
okay.
So, that was a... I'm not judging you.
That's okay if you were. It's all right. That's interesting. Yeah, I like rereading books all the time. I do it often. I do have to, like, force myself to read new ones, though. So that is the flip side of that.
What ended up happening is my list to read became so big that I was, and I was looking back at stuff I'd already read, and I was like, well, I gotta keep going.
That's true. That's true. Do you reread books, Sheila?
Only if it has Harry Potter in the title.
That's fair. That's fair enough.
Well, I do read some of the children's books.
Right.
I'd be in the children's library all the time. But sure. As far as sit down reading novels, right. I mean, Harry Potter I go back to because it's like an old friend.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I have a 1.5-year-old, so I read Brown Bear, Brown Bear like 45 times a day. So if that counts as rereading, you know.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Do you get picture books through Overdrive? Like, do you try and get them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you get the read-alongs?
Yeah, she loves them.
Does she like the read-alongs?
The problem is she's very into the read-alongs, but, she's very, then, like, she's so into the book that I'll give her the iPad and it's not gonna stay on the page.
It's
hands all over. And so we're just flipping. She actually has taught me little gestures that you can do on it. It's like they are born knowing how to use an iPad better than I do. And somehow so she funny. Can like stop the read along, and then it stops and she's upset, and then I have to get started. It's great. She's funny. Really, as long as they can be like slightly out of reach,
right,
or 6 months from now,
sure, I guess, when she can,
when she's not wanting to throw it across the room.
Fair,
but yeah, she loves them.
So, all right, those are our fun recent reads. Gonna do some reader's advisory now. You know, we're librarians. That's what we do. People need book recommendations. So who wants to start? I think I like Sheila's. I think Sheila's is fun. So Sheila should start with hers. Hers is a little different, but it's a fun one.
It's a fun one because I'm a children's librarian at heart. And so I always look at the calendar and say, hey, what do we got fun coming up this month? And of course, in January, every children's librarian knows we celebrate Appreciated Dragon Day.
See, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's this year on January 16th. And so on Overdrive, we'll have a list up of all the dragon books that are available through Overdrive. And the newest one, one of the newest ones, is by Lawrence Yap. He writes a lot of fantasy kind of things. And he wrote A Dragon's Guide to the Care and Feeding of Humans, which is really cool because it's the dragon side.
The dragon side. I like it.
It was a really cute, it was a cute read. They say grades 4 to 7 on that one, but you know, you can go lower on that one depending on your reading ability. But it's a really cute thing. And then on the list, don't forget, you know, we still have the Aragorn titles. Yeah. I fell in love with Aragorn when it came out. The Dragon Rider by Cornelia Funke. So yeah, go on and check out all our dragon books and celebrate, Appreciate a Dragon Day.
What's the date again for Appreciate
a Dragon Day? It'll be January 16th.
January 16th.
Yes.
Excellent. What about you, Todd? What's your...
I had a, request from a friend. I'm looking for an audiobook recommendation for upcoming travel, which a lot of us will be doing. I like storyteller comedians like Mike Birbiglia, humorous biographies like Amy Poehler's Yes, Please. I sort of started without knowing what they'd really read and figured that I'd sort of go all over the place, assuming that something would hit.
Sure.
And I'm sure all of you could think of funny audiobooks, because that's definitely the thing right now. But my most obvious one is You Talk Pretty One Day by David Sedaris. I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love it. It's classic.
Yeah, that is one I would re-listen to.
You know what? I have never technically read a David Sedaris book, like, on the page. I've only done the audiobooks for David Sedaris. Once I figured out he does the audio for them, it's fabulous. Yes.
Yeah, I think about midway I switched over, something like that. I read You Talk Pretty One Day in high school.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
I don't know that audiobooks were on my radar. Totally.
Yeah, they probably weren't on your radar. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were on mine either.
And then, like a more mainstream recommendation would be like Dad is Fat or Food by Jim Gaffigan. Mm-hmm. Those are both really good. They're basically his stand-up routine. So if you like Jim Gaffigan, you're going to like the book. Also, the Modern Romance, the Aziz Ansari book.
So good.
It's funny, and then also, like, I'm married, so it's not exactly helping me out, but I thought he did a good job. It's like an actual book about dating.
It is.
Like an actual book. Like, it did, there's like science and
there's
stuff.
Science involved.
And he didn't do the science, don't worry. Like, his students already isn't doing the science. But he was really funny. And then the audiobook, in addition to the ebook, is a good, it's just a good companion, because there's a lot of stuff that you can't see, but he adds a lot of, like, asides and little, like, it's really funny.
Like, I like, and Amy Poehler does it too, like, they're very self-aware of the audiobook format and that they're doing an audiobook, and so there's a lot more than just reading straight from the page, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Augusta Burroughs book, what's the Christmas one?
It was terrible. I could look it up while we're...
Should have written it down. Anyway, we'll go back to it. The funny one I was going to throw in is the Sarah Silverman book called The Bedwetter. It's the Bedwetter Stories of Courage, Redemption, and Pee. That one definitely comes with a NC-17 warning, but it's really, really funny, and she's like very honest in it. That one's really great. And then the book that I actually mentioned earlier just finished is Lafayette and the Somewhat United States. Or Wordy Shipmates by Sarah Val. They're both really great. But you're gonna learn something too, so, you know.
Was it You Better Not Cry?
You Better Not Cry. Yeah. I felt like when he read You Better Not Cry, it was like, you start out and you're not really sure about the voice that he's using.
Oh, okay.
And it's because he actually reads it, like, with characters. Yeah. And he has a character for himself as a younger kid.
Okay.
So, it's definitely interesting.
And good. That's good. Mm-hmm. All right. Good to know. So, it's actually for my brother-in-law. I asked my sister, and she said that he likes wizards and stuff, and that his favorite series is The Dresden Files by Jim Butcher. And so I suggested The Iron Druid Chronicles by Kevin Hearn. The first book is Hounded, and it is set in modern day, and it follows the last of the druids who lives in Arizona. He lives a very peaceful life until an angry Celtic god shows up wanting his magical sword.
Those angry Celtic gods.
Gotta watch out for those angry Celtic gods. I know. And then I also suggested The Vampire Files by P.N. Elrod. First book is Bloodlist. This is set in Prohibition-era Chicago, and it follows an investigative journalist, Jack, who wakes up one night to discover he is now a vampire. And it has sort of like a 1930s noir detective feeling, which is in line with...
Is he finding out how he became a vampire?
Yes, I believe he's trying to find out how he became a vampire.
Mm, isn't there only one way?
Well, I think... Yes, I think so. It's probably more the who, maybe? Okay. Or like what led to that whole thing as well, you know? And then the third one, sort of like the Iron Druid Chronicles and the Vampire Files are... follow a more sort of like contemporary type wizard. But the third one I suggested is The Kingkiller Chronicles by Patrick Rothfuss. And the first book is The Name of the Wind. This has more of a, what you would think of as like a medieval type time period that you're in setting. And it follows a magically gifted boy who grows up to become the most famous wizard of all time, like in his
non-Harry Potter world.
Harry Potter world, yes.
Why do they always have to be the most famous? Can't there be like a one story about a wizard who's just like living in Chicago? Like,
no, you can't.
Cleveland and now?
We could write that though. We could have a wizard in Cleveland who grows up to be the most famous wizard of our...
Have you read Sidney Williams' Chimes series?
I have not.
I think it's the Wizard Era or the Warrior Era. It's a series. And it's set in Cleveland. She's a local author.
Look at that.
And he was born...
Is he real wizard, average?
But he was implanted with a warrior stone.
Oh.
So he's like a hybrid.
Wow.
It was a good series. I sucked it right up, but it was really good. It's a YA, but it's really good. Okay. It's really,
that
really
works.
Good.
I'm going to have that to list you now. Be like, here, you should read this too. Apparently, you know, who wants to be like the second most... Actually, that would be a good book. The
somebody
second
has
most
to be.
Famous wizard.
Like, that's like totally annoyed with Harry Potter and... It's just like King Killer.
That's actually
whatever.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
The second most famous wizard, who's like always the shadow of the famous one.
He doesn't go to Hogwarts. He goes to like some second class wizarding school. And...
on it. Somebody needs to write that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing. Okay, so those are our readers' advisory picks for this week. Now's the fun part. I like this part because I like talking about all the books that are coming out in the future.
No, me too.
So what's everybody excited about?
I'm amazed. The first one I would, before you even asked me to be on it, I wanted to talk about this book. And I don't know a whole lot about it except it's, I know, except that it's about bartending. And, I bartended for a long time. And I think that there's a lot of, material there.
Oh, sure.
And it's called Sweet Bitter. It's by, Stephanie Danler. And, I will be getting a copy as soon as possible.
Sure. That's all you know about?
That's it. That's all I know. I just
know what you say. You didn't know a lot about it. You were like...
I literally did not.
Oh, that's funny. That sounds good, though. All right. Bartending. What else? Anything else coming out?
Oh, yeah. Then the book Dodgers by Bill Beverly. It's a good, sort of historical fiction book, I believe. It takes place in L.A., there's an LA drug gang.
Nice.
Just gotta say LA drug gang and I'm in there. But it's getting a lot of buzz, which is not usually the reason why I follow a book.
Right.
It definitely looks very cool.
Right. Sheila, what's coming out?
Well, Kwame Alexander, who wrote, Crossover.
Okay.
He's got a new one coming out and it's called Book. And this one's about, soccer.
Okay.
The last one's about basketball.
Okay.
Still written in prose. Awesome. I think
it's written in prose. That's fun.
Yeah. So a lot of students enjoy that because there's a lot of white space and they can read a book and still get credit for
sure.
But it's well written. It's not just prose for prose sake. It's a well written story. And the other one that I want to get my hands on that I haven't seen yet, but is getting a lot of buzz, is The Bitter Side of Sweet by Tara Sullivan.
Okay.
So a lot of
people. Well, those two book titles, because yours was Sweet Bitter and The Bitter Side of Sweet. Look at that.
Yeah, well, here's the synopsis.
This was all meant to happen.
Well, it's just. Yeah. The synopsis of this book is the 15-year-old Amadou counts the things that matter. For 2 years, what has mattered are the number of cocoa pods that he and his younger brother, the Sedoyo, can chop down in a day. This number is very important. The higher the number, the safer they are because the bosses won't beat them. The higher the number, the closer they are to paying off their debt and returning home.
That's
intense. So I can't wait to get my hands on that one. I've been trying, but it hasn't come through yet.
That's okay.
But can I quickly say
of
that
course.
Now ABC Family is changing their name.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. They are changing their name and calling themselves Freeform now.
Okay.
So, but they are going to be premiering The Shadowhunters.
Okay.
This month. And that is based on the Mortal Instruments series.
Oh.
By, what was that author? Cassandra Clare.
Okay.
And that's all The City of Bones, City of Ashes.
Right.
Okay, so that's going to be coming out too. So I can't wait to see,
how
to judge
fun.
What's better.
The book, right?
Or the TV series. And we all know it will be the book.
Probably, yeah. That's exciting.
Yes.
Okay. So I am looking forward to, first off, I'm a big Bill Bryson fan. He wrote A Walk in the Woods. Mm-hmm. And about 20 years ago, he had a book come out called Notes from a Small Island. It was when he first had moved. He's an American, but he moved to England and decided to drive and take a road trip around England and write about all the little towns. And that was 20 years ago, and now he's decided to do it again. And so he has a new book coming out called The Road to Little Dribbling, which is sort of like a sequel to Notes from a Small Island, where he basically does the same thing and drives around in England. And he did one where he a couple years ago, a similar idea here in the United States, where he took a road trip around the United States. And then Black Rabbit Hall by Eve Chase. It is set at an English country estate, which is pretty much my soul. I'm done. English country estate. And it is a debut novel, which is a thrilling spiral into the hearts of two women separated by decades, but inescapably linked by the dark and tangled secrets of Black Rabbit Hall.
See, so, I know you're not alone, but what is the draw for the English country estate? What is it? What is it that does it?
You don't have them here in America.
It's the
accent. I think it's the history. Mm. Like, some of those English country estates have been around as long as our country has. Like, I don't know. There's just a lot of history. They're very big and
Do you want to live in one?
I would love to. I would totally live in a
That
would
be interesting.
Down Abbey.
Down Abbey. It's the Down Abbey effect. I think that's what it is.
It didn't exist for you pre-Downton?
No, I think it did. But I think then it came sort of in... I think the closest we have would be like Southern plantation homes. Mm-hmm. And that definitely existed pre-Down Abbey for me. So I think it's just the big... It's just the big homes with a lot of history and...
All right. Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
I had to ask.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think... And I think usually like... There's never, like, the big English country states, there's never really anything good that happens. Like a lot of Agatha Christie stuff takes place at the big English country estate. And, you know.
Wuthering Heights.
See, exactly. Like, I think that's what it is. It's sort of that, those dark corners in the
So pretty big, but dangerous.
Pretty but dangerous, exactly. It's the pretty but dangerous.
All right, I'm on board.
Are you on board?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being on our third episode.
Thank you.
Hope you had fun talking about books.
So much fun.
So much fun. Excellent. And the titles that we talked about today can be found on overdrive.com and all that good stuff. So be sure to check them out. And happy reading. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.